I am aware of how life-changing it would be for each of us individually and for the world as a whole if the principles that I was speaking of could actually be incorporated on a collective level. The time is coming when that will be the case, when it will feel like wholeness is more important than other things, and it will be more easily recognized that the thing that we hold, the belief we hold about private ownership, I own my life, I own my money, is completely false. That time is coming. Private ownership in that sense of ownership of one's possessions is an illusion. You don't possess anything. Nobody possesses anything. We are renting this body. We are borrowing this body. We are renting and borrowing every cell in it. And so our money is flowing through our life in the same way that every other current of energy is flowing through our life. But because it stirs those fears that are primordial, it causes us to hold tightly what we have and what we own, which is not real. And out of that we become less generous. And as I said earlier, generosity doesn't just work in one direction. It's not just about, you know, what do I give to this charity or to this organization? Generosity is a state of soul, and it affects every area of life. So when you tighten up because you're anxious about what you have and what you own, that tightening tightens everything. It tightens the whole flow of energy that's moving through you. It's not just about money. You may think it is. You know, you may think that maybe a friend asks you for a favor or to borrow some money that you give generously to that friend, or maybe if they ask you for something else. So then you say, well, I'm not feeling tight about that because I'm very happy to do this for somebody. But that's because that's not the difficult area for you. The key about generosity is whether you're generous no matter what you have, that it's a principle of life. Generosity is a principle of life. So in certain circumstances, it's easy to be giving because it's not taxing you, or it's not taxing the fear that you're in. So then take what I'm saying and apply it to nations. Can you imagine what it would be like if nations weren't afraid and had a different conception of ownership? The world we live in would be completely different. Every nation is afraid. I mean, in the news today, we know this, and it's manifesting around all kinds of issues that are touching on the economic picture, that have to do with those who are having more, wanting to hold on to their more, and wanting to reject those who are having less. In all kinds of countries this is happening, the holding on to protection of those who have, and the wanting to eliminate, reject, or send away those who have not. So if this idea about universal relationship spiritually was all-encompassing, including financially, we would be living in a different world. And as always, how do you begin to do that? You start with yourself. You start with yourself and you start being honest about your fear and how fear is governing your life. And you have a choice then about whether you desire to give up your fear, because it's one thing to have fear and it's another thing to give it up and to say, I'm going to operate with a different set of assumptions here. But whatever you do personally, what's important to know is that money is not separated from the rest of your life. It's part of the flow of spiritual energy that acts as a teacher for us. Spiritual energy that fosters that continual movement towards greater wholeness. So I encourage those of us who want to make a difference in the reality of collective consciousness to start with yourself, about how you're holding tight something, whatever it is you're holding tight. and see whether you can take the next step and have a different view of what you think your financial circumstances should be, or have a different view of what constitutes fear and what constitutes acceptance. The question is being asked about how institutions contribute to inequality among human beings as causal factors, operating on principles that are not equitable and that are exclusive, promoting the well-being of some at the expense of others. And the question comes up about how to look at that fact of institutional reinforcement of separateness of one group from another in the light of the fact that we are all one. Is that right?
Yes, and also in the light of the fact that each and every one of us is personally being upheld by God to the degree that our souls need.
All right. Yes, and so, and how to look at the fact of institutional inequality, institutionally based inequality, at the same time holding that all of us are being upheld by the divine in what we need and what we need to have happen in our life in terms of spiritual goals. The question of causality is a very big subject in spiritual consciousness, about what causes what. And so I think if we look at social structures of any kind, no matter what they are, the government agencies or health facilities or national organizations, any organization, any structure, including the ones that are elitist, are not causal agents of anything. There's no such thing as a structure that causes something. A structure manifests something. It's only consciousness that causes something. So the structure of a government agency causes certain policies to be enacted, manifesting a consciousness. If one wants to address these inequities or inequalities in society, there is no other way except addressing consciousness. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't also write letters to your congressperson. It doesn't mean that you can't speak to the manifestor of a policy. So it's not either or. But a structure is not a cause. Only consciousness is a cause. And its departure from the reality of the divine imprint, the divine core of our consciousness, is the cause that allows inequities to take place for reasons that are complex, that have to do with the sense of being alone in the universe, fear-based, and in some cases, power-based. The entrance into the mix of consciousness of the energy of the desire for power having substituted for the energy of the desire for love. Those aspects of consciousness, the legacy of fear, the energy of the desire for power, which is a form of darkness, having taken the place of the manifestation of the soul's love or the desire for love, that's part of human history. So if you look at a society such as the one today, in which agencies are promoting policies that are exclusive and that are, some would say, regressive or reactionary, maybe some people wouldn't use that word, but at least they are exclusionary in the sense of being for certain people who have more or having more, and certain people who have less having less, that is an aspect of consciousness that has been karmically with us being either this country or the world, depending on which we're talking about, for a very long time. The consciousness that's karmically manifesting through these institutional structures is revealing those principles of loss of heart, separation from the divine core, and loss of connection with the common humanity of all that have been part of our nation's consciousness from the beginning. So we can't look at structures the way that the physical eyes or the common sense eyes, the common sense knowledge looks at structures. We can only look at structures in terms of being the manifestations or manifestors of the consciousness that is now moving through all of our collective awareness. And this time, you have the choice about believing whether there's purification taking place, and that's the reason we're seeing these energies of exclusiveness and rejection and the willingness to separate instead of the willingness to join. All of that is part of our collective history. It's part of our consciousness. And it's based on individual consciousness of each person who was part of that soul history for however many years. Human beings have lived on the earth and felt that they were alone. That's not all of our history, but that's a large part of it. So consciousness needs to be changed in order for institutions to change. And you can do it on so many different levels, but a good place to start is with yourself, because you're a part of the all. And so what you contribute to the fear level that everyone lives in is a choice you make.